Seeing Beyond the Eyes is a project run by Visualize Training and Consultancy, and it's won a Vision UK John Thompson Award for Excellence in Services, Support and Care 2019. What is Seeing Beyond the Eyes, and what difference does the award make? Well, I'm joined now by Dan Williams, who is co-founder of Visualize Training and Consultancy, and also by Jayshree Vasani, who is a dispensing optician.
Hi, Simon.
Congratulations on your award.
Great, thank you very much.
So, I mean, tell us, first of all, what was the aim of Seeing Beyond the Eyes?
So, Seeing Beyond the Eyes was an initiative that we created to bridge the gap between the eye care sector and the sight loss sector. So we delivered 60 sessions up and down England and Scotland to raise awareness amongst optometrists and opticians on the high street so that they were well placed to actually signpost patients and refer patients to appropriate support services. I think optometrists and opticians, they're very well at providing glasses and referring on to ophthalmology services. But what we found is that a lot of them were not referring on to local sight loss charities or for rehabilitation services for help and for their patients to get help and support. So we were delivering 60 sessions across England and Scotland to make them more aware of what is available. And within those sessions, we actually had optometrists, opticians, rehabilitation officers, ECLOs and sight loss charities present so that we can start to bridge the gap that currently exists because between the eye care sector and the sight loss sector.
Why is there such a gap, would you say?
I think that people seem to work in their own silos, and I think there's been a huge assumption that when an optometrist refers on to ophthalmology, that patients are picked up by ophthalmology and then referred on to the appropriate support services. And I think that's why partly there's a gap, and optometrists, on their course, they get a little bit of training around low vision, but it's very much focused on magnifiers rather than referrals onto support services. And I think, you know, as we know, it's not all about magnifiers. It's also about patients getting the vital support that they need to move on with their life.
Were there any surprises that came up over the time that you've been doing this?
Yeah, so we actually done a pre and post survey, and we found that only 30% of high street opticians actually display sight loss leaflets in their practices. So that was a surprise for me. And less than 20% of them currently refer into a local sight loss charity. So again, that was quite a surprise for me.
And did you not find that there was cases where you had an optometrist or an eye care provider and there was a charity only a matter of a couple of hundred yards away and nobody had any idea that each other existed?
Yeah, definitely. So we had a situation where we had an optometrist that worked about 100 metres away from a local sight loss charity. She'd worked there for 10 years and didn't even realise it existed. And that was just one example, but I think there's probably a lot of those examples of what we've seen across the roadshow. And I think, you know, people just work in their own silos and there's not a lot of engagement going on. And I think the optical sector have got a lot more to do, and equally the sight loss sector have got a lot more to do as well to actually build that partnership better working together.
Now, Jayshree Vasani, you're a dispensing optician. How did you get involved with the project?
I work as a special optician at the RNIB, and part of the remit of that is to go to shows like Sight Village. Sight Village is like an accessibility tech show for all things technical and new that are available for people with visual impairments. And Dan was standing there, and I said to him, "Oh, what do you do?" He said, "I do disability awareness training." "Oh, that's good. Excellent." I said, "That's nice." And I was just about to walk past, and he goes, "So don't you want to come?" And I'm like, "Yeah, okay then. Yeah. So he sort of cajoled me into coming a little bit. I went to the training, and on the way home, I just thought to myself afterwards, do you know what? There's a big gap here. There's a massive knowledge gap between opticians and optometrists and the sight loss sector. So it was a case of getting the two together. And we managed to get Dan's training accredited with what's called CT points. And the rest is, as they say, is history. You know, we managed to get the funding from Hockington Trust and started the roadshows off.
Didn't it surprise you? You know, had you never thought about this possible gap then up until this point?
Well, yeah, I had thought about the gaps, but I think as optometrists and opticians, we sort of, you know, we're very good at looking after people's eyes and what have you. And we sort of think once we refer them, we can't help them with the glasses, we can't help them without lenses. we refer them to the optometrist, to the ophthalmologist, I beg your pardon, and we think that's done. You know, our job is done. They're going to be taken care of. So they could wait 10 weeks, they could wait 10 months, okay? And in that time, their confidence could be dropping, they're having difficulty cooking, you know, they're not reading their letters, they're not reading the appointment. All these things are really bad. By the time they get to the ophthalmologist, they're not in any great, you know, state. Actually, all of that could be helped by referring them to the right people at the right time, very early on. And, you know, that's where the big gap is.
So you'd agree there's more work to be done?
Oh, plenty more work to be done. Plenty more work to be done. You know, we have done 4,500 optometrists and 21,000 on the register. So I think there's a big heap of work to be done.
Who should be doing more, do you think? I mean, do you think charities should be doing actually more to bridge this?
I think charities should do a lot more. And I think the optometrists and the optical community should also be doing a lot more. I think historically, optometrists have, you know, a lot of them have never even visited their local sight loss charity. And part of the reason is that, you know, maybe sight loss charities are not reaching out to their local community, or if they have done, they've put on events that are sort of in the daytime, and optometrists generally won't take a day time off during their working hours to actually come to the local charity. So, for example, the charity then needs to open up in the evening so that the optometrist can come and learn about their charity in the evening when they're, you know, off work in a way. So I think there's a lot that can be done. Equally, you know, sight loss charities could open their doors and rent their rooms out for optical training. Sight loss charities could make the process a lot easier to actually refer patients in. Some optometrists have sort of said that, you know, sometimes the charity want War and Peace for the referral and they haven't got the time to do the referral. Some optometrists have said to me, well, who's paying us for these referrals to refer these patients into the charities? Some optometrists have told me that they can't refer patients into the charities because of GDPR. So there's a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding, and lots of sort of preconceptions out there that need to be challenged and changed in order for patients to get the right support and move forward.
And I think, you know, being a member of the vision impaired community, you tend to think that everybody's joined up, and it's a bit naive perhaps to think that then.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And if the optometrist doesn't know where to send you, you know, they're generally really good at referring to the ophthalmologist. And if they're not aware, then, and the ophthalmologist isn't aware, then where's that patient going? And, you know, if you get into the hospital service and you see an ECLO, that's great if there's an ECLO in the hospital, but we also know that not every patient will see the ECLO. So for me, it's about earlier intervention rather than early intervention, because people need to get that signpost into support services pretty quick in their sight loss journey.
Can we force change, do you think?
That's an interesting question. I think, yeah, we can make change happen, but I think we need the right senior management teams on board to actually influence the change. And I also think that we need people to hold people accountable, whether that be sight loss charities or optical bodies. They need to be held accountable for, I would go as far as to say that actually there's a lot of patients that are being let down in this system that are not being referred anywhere, and they're just going home to sit and potentially be very, very depressed. So, you know, there needs to be a lot more awareness raising amongst the optical community, and there needs to be a lot more people holding the two sectors accountable for their actions.
Well, you seem to have tapped onto something that really needs change, and you've been recognised with a Vision UK John Thompson Award for Excellence in Services, Support and Care. Tell us a bit about that. What does that entail?
Yeah, so we were delighted to be recognised for the work that we have achieved over the last year and a half, delivering to 4,500 optical professionals to raise their awareness of the services that are available to patients with low vision. And it's great that we've got the recognition for the work that we've been doing, and Vision UK have obviously had a panel to judge that, and we were delighted to win the award. But in my mind, there's so much more to be done. There's 21,000 professionals out there, and I would love to train all of them. But unfortunately, the funding has come to an end, so we don't actually have any money to continue. And there's definitely lots more communication that needs to happen to make this change actually happen. And I think, although we've achieved such great work, I think there's so much more to be done.
And do you think this gives you more credibility when you're approaching these organisations?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say that it definitely gives us more credibility when we're approaching the organisations, yeah.
And what kind of response have you had from organisations? Because you're basically highlighting shortfalls in the way it all isn't linked up.
So we've had a mixed response. We've had some local sight loss charities that have been very well on board, very engaged, and have turned up to every session to showcase what work they do. And that's great stuff. And then we've also had other sight loss charities where actually they don't want to come along and engage because we're doing the training between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. and they shut the door at 5 p.m. and therefore they don't want to come along. And I think that's, that small-minded mentality within some of the local sight loss charities is unacceptable, and someone needs to hold them accountable for that as well. Because at the end of the day, if they don't want to engage with the optical professionals because they have their training in the evening, then actually there's a big barrier there for patients getting the right support.
Yeah, because sight loss stops at 5 o'clock, doesn't it?
It definitely does.
you can only be blind between the hours of 9 and 5. Yeah. So there's still a lot of work to do. So where do you go from here then?
Where we go from here is just trying to really raise that awareness and trying to get more funding to actually continue the good work that we've done, whether that be from the optical body or the sight loss bodies. I believe that there's lots of money and funding out there, but it's whether others from a senior level actually see what we're actually achieving and what we're doing to create change and put that money into our pockets, basically to enable us to continue our project.
Well, it's certainly been an eye-opener seeing what you found out, and quite shocking, I think, in some ways. Would you agree with that?
I think definitely. I think it is very, very shocking. And I think that, I think low vision is just so much more than just magnifiers. And these optometrists have the ability to actually save lives by referring patients onto the correct support services. And I just think that we just really need to continue the work that we're doing to make people refer on. And also, what's really shocked me is that some clinicians have actually had, said to me, how much are people going to pay us to refer these patients onto support services? I understand that most optometrists are running a business, but equally, they need to also see the value in just referring a patient on for help and support so that they can move on with their life.
And of course, at this time, patients are perhaps dealing with the shock of finding out some news about their sight. So, you really need a bit of support at that time.
Yeah, definitely. And I just think the two sectors need to work a lot better together. And I think for years they've been miles apart, and one does one thing and the other does the other. Actually, it needs to be working better together. And that's been our mantra throughout the whole Seeing Beyond the Eyes roadshow. And it's been evident where we've seen in certain pockets of the country where organizations work very well together, and others, they've always done it the same way for 100 years and therefore they're not willing to engage. And I've also had responses from some of the local sight loss charities, well, we've been around for 100 years, so therefore the optometrist should know who we are. And again, it's like, well, there's a lot of optometrists out there that are not 100, so they're probably not going to know who you are. So I think that it's been very interesting trying to coordinate the two sectors, and I think there's so much more that can be done. But we also need the willingness from the professionals, both sight loss and optical, to make the positive change, and also patients. So I think if patients have had an experience where it hasn't been up to par or up to standard, then also they need to be able to hold these two bodies accountable and say, this isn't good enough. I'm not getting the service that I deserve, and, make complaints as well.
Well, much work to be done, but thankfully, Dan, you're on the case. Dan Williams, congratulations for the award and for all of you that were involved from Visualize Training and Consultancy.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm a man on a mission with low vision, trying to get low vision higher on the optical agenda. Thank you.